So this is for the people that procrastinate. This procrastination cost me $1 million, and I'll tell you why. And I think it's you should know, because the idea came in 2014 and I didn't execute until 2017. When last year sales, the first year in business, were about $340,000. If you do the math, that's about $1 million that I lost if I would have started in 2014.
Hey babes, it's Kayla Kraft with the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. I'm a mom of three littles, ER nurse turned self-made millionaire, and lifestyle entrepreneur. I am bringing you inspiring stories, business and mindset tips to help you be shameless in pursuing your ambitions. Hey, Mommy Millionaires, I am so excited about today's special guest. But first, I want to remind you that if you want to have the best 2020 ever and you're already making six figures, but you want to scale and hit seven figures, maybe even eight figures for the first time, you're going to want to be a part of the Mommy Millionaire Mastermind in 2020. So head over to mommymillionaire.co/mastermind to fill out the application to join. There's only a couple spots left, and I'm being very particular in who I want to be a part of this sisterhood, because I want it to be people that are willing to help everybody out in the group, that are ambitious and really like excited about having massive impact on the world. So if that sounds like you, head over there and fill out the application. So let's talk about today's amazing guest. So I first met him actually because I think I was speaking at James Wedmore's like next level mastermind or something about sales. And he came up and you gave me a planner. And I was like, this is really cool. And I had seen it before because James gives them out at all of his events. And I loved how bold he was. And he was like, you need to check out my product. I was like, clearly I do. And I asked him if he would sponsor Mommy Millionaire Live, and he gave 200 planners to all of the attendees that came to Mommy Millionaire Live, which I just thought was so special. He has a great product, and you know what else he has is a great story, one of inspiration, came from nothing and created something so amazing that is impacting and helping so many entrepreneurs out there in the world. So you guys, help me welcome Alon David to the show. He is the creator of the 90X Goal Planner. So welcome to the Mommy Millionaire Show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for that intro. And yes, I am bold when I want to make an impact. So I will walk out to people, I don't care who they are, and I will be right in their face. So I guess that's the Israeli person in me.
Well, you know, I feel like I like those stories because it makes people realize that you have to have that like go get them attitude in order to meet the people you need to meet in order to take your career where you want it to go. So you're really willing to do that. But you know, you didn't just like make this thing into a masterpiece right away. Tell us about where you came from.
Yeah, so I moved to the country. I moved to the US about 24 years ago from Israel after serving 3 years in the Israeli Air Force. So I moved here around 21. I had nothing. I moved like literally a week after the Air Force, finishing the 3 years, because I just hated doing things for no reason. And that's the way it's in the military. You got to do it because I said so, and that's it. And it wasn't me. So I decided to come here. I loved it. I went back, packed my stuff. Wasn't much, just an old Beetle car, sold it for a couple of $1,000s, and moved here. So I moved here with $800, and you know, I was a student. I was on a visa student, and to be able to keep staying over here, I had to pick up whatever job, whatever it was. And I was literally picking up trash on a construction company for $5.25 in Texas.
Wow.
In Texas back then. So yeah, $5.25, and I was happy eating McDonald's for like 99 cents back then. I think you can still buy it for 99 cents, but that's what
on
I lived
Fridays,
on.
On Fridays, I think.
On Friday. But that's what I did. I went to school, and then at night I was lucky and I landed another job, and that was cleaning shopping centers from like 10 a.m. to like 4 p.m. in the morning, give or take. And I was cleaning shopping centers, you know, the bubble gum where you have to scrap it. Yeah, that's what I did.
I love how you just said, I was lucky I got a second job, and it was literally cleaning gum off the floor.
Yes.
Why do you say
it was lucky?
Yeah, but I want to hear, I think people need to hear why you think you were lucky.
You know, because for me, coming from a different country to this country, I have to appreciate any opportunity that comes my way. Mm-hmm. And most people don't get that. I mean, that's an opportunity for you to work. Most people will go and do whatever it is, beg, steal. I don't know, whatever it is that they do, it's okay. It's their thing. But for me, it was, I felt lucky. I felt appreciated. And I mean, I got a job. I could do worse and I have nothing. And right. I've been there. I've been to those situations where I had literally nothing and I was sleeping in my car, but I was lucky. So for me, it was an opportunity that somebody gave me as an immigrant and say, hey, here, clean my stuff. And that's okay. And you should take it and it should be appreciated because you know that this is not the end result. This is not my end game. This right. was the beginning. So I saw the big picture and I did that. So for me, it was lucky. I did that for about 3 years until I was able to actually legally work in the country and actually work and do whatever I wanted to do. And I started as car salesman and then insurance sales. And I started my insurance company. Fast forward, I joined my uncle's construction company, moved to San Diego. And a company that was making about $300,000, my second year, we were able to make about $7
million. Wow. So, yeah.
And it was crazy. Just me and him. And I did the sales and design and he did the building. We had, of course, subs. And that's what I did for about until 2010 when we part ways. And I started again from scratch. I mean, before there's more things that we're not going to go into. But it's started a photography business again from zero. And within 10 months, I was able to hit six figures with no experience, no background, no knowledge about photography or anything like that.
So, wow. Okay. So you've done a lot of things in your life.
A lot.
And what makes you passionate about doing what you're doing now with the planners?
You know, because everything started with a vision. Mm-hmm. Everything started with the vision, what it is that I want and where do I want to go and what do I want to be remembered for?
Yeah.
And every time that question would pop is I didn't know, but I did things because I had to do them and I had to survive. I had to struggle. I had to hustle. I know a lot of people don't like that word, but it's okay because I had to hustle. This wasn't anything available, but it was all about goal setting. Like I always saw the big picture. Picking up trash for me was I'm one day I'm going to own a construction company, which I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I picked up trash for a construction company and, you know, selling cars. Well, you know what? Let me own an insurance company. And that's what I did after that. And a photography, honestly, that just landed on my lap because I love doing it. And I turned it into a $350,000 a year income, you know, 80% wow. profit. And I think that's amazing, especially when you don't have. So it's always started with a vision, goal setting and just going after it. But more than that, just being focused on one thing and just going after that.
Well, and I think that's so big is like most people, they're just focused on the wrong thing. They're focused on the wrong thing. And so they don't accomplish anything.
Yes.
And so you would just say, okay, in the next, you know, year, I want to accomplish this one thing. And then all of your actions throughout the day are making sure that they're in alignment with hitting that goal.
100%. And now it's even getting better and better and better. Especially now that created the 90X planner. But I mean, and now we're launching the new launch planner.
I can't wait for that one. I'm so excited.
Me too. I mean, it's going to be so refined. It's going to be for those people that are ready and focused and laser it and focused. And that's what they want to do so they can focus on one thing. Because as entrepreneur, we always have the problem of like, oh, I want to do, oh, this is a great, let me just do that. Oh, this is a great idea. Let me just move to that. Or let me do this and that. And that's what people get wrong. And once you stay on that one thing, and you just stay laser focused, I think that's when things happen, magic happens. But that's what I love doing is goal setting and coaching people and working with people and guiding people and see the impact in their life, you know? Mm.
Okay. So for those of you guys that are looking at the YouTube version of this show, you see, I have the planner. He has it there. I have the pretty rose gold one. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the rose gold for myself. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But for the women, this is just amazing. It's so pretty. And I love how on the back, it has things like believe, I am perfect, think big, simplify, excellence. And every time we see words like that, it imprints in our mind, right? Like, why did you choose to do these words on the back of this planner?
You know, so funny, the idea was not mine. It was my son back then when he was 9 years old. And
I told him,
remember I told you one day, like you saw a video of my kids selling stuff because they're literally like my 3 and 4 year old, they're like pass flyers and things like that. When they're so I love incorporating my kids. Actually, each collection is named after one of my kids or my wife. That collection, that one you have is under my wife's name. It's a Maya collection. Aww. So each one has a meaning to me. But it was my son's idea. I was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have like things, motivation things over here, like motivational words? And I was like, love it. Boom, done. And that's what we did. So we went out, we created the words. I even have it on my banner behind me.
Yep.
And we kind of imprinted it. So the other one said, in the beginning, it said hustle hard. And then because I kind of got aligned with myself and I knew that I didn't have to hustle. I just have to work smart. Mm-hmm. We changed it to trust the process. And I don't know if yours says trust the process, but I'm not sure which one you have.
Let me see. Yep. It says trust the process.
Yeah. So
oh
you
my
have
gosh, I never noticed that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's so cool. I love that.
And that came from the reason where people don't trust what they want to do. Then they think it's going to happen the next day.
Why? Okay. Why do people have such a hard time with trusting the process? That is actually one of my affirmations. So that's so crazy that it's on there and I didn't realize it. Because you just have to surrender, right? You have to surrender and trust the process. What does that even mean though?
For me, what it means is, you know, there's a process that has to happen. We don't have to know everything going in. We don't have to know everything. We need to know what our vision is right now, working from our vision to where we want to go, and just trust the process along the way. You know, if I was driving to you, I don't have to know every exit that's going to be along the way. I don't have to. I'm just going to trust that there's going to be exit and I'm going to be able to buy McDonald's for a dollar or a Starbucks or a fill up gas, you know?
Yeah.
That's where that came from me. It was like, trust the process. You know,
yeah, because we get caught up in the how. Okay, like, you know, I want to have a multi-million-dollar business, but how? Like, everybody gets stuck in the how.
Exactly. And it's not that. You know, start taking action towards there and clarity will come with action.
Yes.
And that's what I believe. That's the way I work from. And hey, I can't say that I don't procrastinate and I don't want to know the how. And I'm not impatient because that wouldn't be true. But in the end of the day, you know, I kind of know that there's a bigger picture. I'm just not ready for it yet. It's going to come. I got to trust the process.
Okay. So you're starting out this new, what year did you start with these planners?
So this is for the people that procrastinate. This procrastination cost me $1 million and I'll tell you why. And I think it's, you should know, because the idea came in 2014 and I didn't execute until 2017 when last year sales, the first year in business were about $340,000. If you do the math, that's about $1 million that I lost if I would have started in 2014.
Yep.
Right. So for you guys who procrastinate like I did and thinking, oh, there's already a planner out there. There's already somebody coaching out there. There's already somebody that's doing this. Somebody already has this. Who am I to do this? I'm not an expert. Well, guess what? It's time for you to act. And it's right now. And so 2017, I decided that bullshit done. I'm just going to go do that. Hired a coach. That's the first thing I did is I hired a coach that can keep me in line. Doesn't have to know the planner business. That's not what the coach is supposed to do. But I hired a coach that can help me and push through this, created the planner in 80 days, and we just launched it. You know,
why do you feel the coach was important for you?
So I don't lose track. So I stay focused. That somebody that accountability, huge. And just somebody to bounce ideas. And especially when you feel like, because look, I created the planner while I have a photography business. I have two newborn babies. We just bought a house. I mean, it's heavy, right? But I also work from worst case scenario. Worst case, I'm going to lose about $5,000 in about 90 days. That's the worst case. And I have 1,000 planners for myself to use if nobody buys them, right? So I work from worst case, already working. What's the worst that can happen? I already acknowledged that. I already knew what it was. Now I can just go forward.
Now go have fun.
Yeah, that's it.
Go rock it out. So and how in the hell?
Lack and exactly what you said. It's having fun. We forget to have fun.
I know. I like him. That's my theme for 2020 already is how much fun can I have and how much money can I make? Because the more fun I have, the more money I'm going to make.
That's the easier it is. Yes.
Yep. It really truly is. Cause you stay in that creative zone and it's like, you're not problem focused. You're solution focused.
Exactly.
So, okay. So you're getting these planners out there in 2017 and you know, you're right. There is no shortage of planners. So how do you stand out amongst all of these other people that are selling their planner? That's the best.
Because I did some legwork. I purchased so many planners, really, for me first to try them out. And every planner had
market research.
Yeah, market research. I did my own thing. And, you know, I was like, oh, I'll use this planner because this is good. Oh, crap. This is good. Oh, this is crap. Oh, this is good. This is not working. And I went through about 25 of them. And then I decided, you know what, my idea, I'm just going to do it. Whatever. I'm just going to do my own thing. It's not a calendar, it's a planner to help you get focused for 90 days. And if you just take one action every day, that will help you get closer to your goal. That's all you got to know. And if you don't have a planner, try that at home on a piece of paper. Take one action towards your goal every day and you're going to get to your goal. That's it. Now, why 90 days? Because I think a lot of people lose the momentum. If it's like a 1 year goal, it's longer to get to. Until you get there, you lose the momentum. You don't have the excitement anymore. But 90 days is still short enough time and long enough time for you to achieve something. Mm-hmm. So that's why I decided to create it. Even though I didn't have any business degree or no degree or marketing product research. I came from a service. I came from the streets doing my thing. And I just think that it's a really good product because it keeps you focused on what you got to get done. And if you don't do anything and you just take one action, for me, it's a job accomplished.
Wow. Okay. This is amazing because I think when I was checking out the 90X planner, and so he has these goal planners and then he has action planners too. I've actually been using the action planner a lot.
Yeah. Smaller. But, it's the same. It's some idea, but it's just smaller.
Yeah. So I love how in the beginning, I'm just going to walk you guys through it. He has the pie of wealth. So this was super interesting to me because I don't think any other planner has this for sure. Right? So explain to me, what is the pie of wealth?
So I believe that we need to have money work for us. That's yes. what I believe. Because we can all go work for money, but eventually it's going to run out.
Yes.
If we don't keep working, right? I mean, let's yep. agree. So we need to figure out ways of making money. I mean, I have two ways that I make as my real estate investment, where I purchase properties and keep them and hold them and then pay rent and they work for me. And then the other one is I believe in stocks and investments and things like that, where I get, and I'm really big about dividends. So I want to make sure that they're producing money for me while I sleep. The third thing is for me was like getting orders, right? While I sleep, orders are coming in so I don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. So most entrepreneurs, I want them to think that way. I want them to think that they can work, go sell your coaching, your one-on-one, your membership, your courses, whatever. But take that money and invest it so it can keep working for you, because if not, you're going to work until you die.
Yep.
And you know, Warren Buffett says it the best, and that's true. And if we don't do that, we're just going to keep working and keep working harder to fill up that bucket if it doesn't get filled by itself. So that was just an encouragement. That was all the pie of wealth was there to do, is to get people thinking. It's like, oh, I only have one source of income. What mm-hmm. else can I do?
Okay, so this is so funny because the first thing I do with my private clients is, when we're talking about financials, I'm asking, you know, how many income streams do you have? And my goal, we work in 90-day increments too. So that's why I'm going to give everybody one of these from now on that I work with. But right in the beginning is, I want, if you're starting out with one income stream, at least by the end of 90 days, let's get you to two income yes. streams at least. Okay. But so I love that you just getting people, you're planting the seed, because at 23 years old, when I first started my business, nobody gave me the pie of wealth. And I thought it was very normal to just have one income stream. I thought that's what I was raised to do, right? You just, you get a job and you pay the bills and you die, basically.
Exactly.
And you're helping people expand, you know, their horizons, basically. So I love that. And I do real estate investing too. Woo woo.
Yeah. I'm not a big investor, but you know, we have a property and we have another one that we're starting to build. And it's okay. Start with one.
Exactly. No, that's wherever we all start with one. We all start somewhere. Now, who's your favorite, just side note, who's your favorite like real estate like guru that you like to listen to?
You know, Grant Cardone, I guess I like him because he's aggressive. He's like me. He's right in your face. He's going to push yeah. you. And that's the guy I resonate with because I'm like that. Obviously, that guy, that's all. I mean, he does a lot more, but that's his main thing.
Yeah.
So that's the guy I like to follow. But I've always liked the real estate, and I always like to buy, because in the past, my first property I purchased was $87,000. You know, we sold it, which sucks because, I mean, you can't buy anything for $87,000 anywhere.
Especially well, in California.
Especially not in California.
In Arkansas or something like that.
But yeah, so for me, it's like, if I even help, that's nothing. That's like peanuts right now. If you think about it, where I have a house that's $700,000 and another one in San Diego, that's another $700,000. That's mm-hmm. just like crazy heavy. Well, so just thinking about small like, things that you can bring in, and it's just that money that's working for you, and taking that money and investing it in another property. And that's me and my brother. That's what we're doing right now. He's in Israel. I'm over here, but we want to work together and do more things, because it's not for me, actually. You know, it's for my kids. Mm-hmm. I want to leave something, because my parents are alive and they're doing good, but they've always been workers. You know, they worked and they worked all their life, and they're enjoying life at 65? Really? No, thank you. You know, I'll be like, no, seriously, right? I mean, wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, and that's what most people do, because that's a circle of life that we go through. And for me, it was different. Yeah, I want to hustle. I want to work hard. I want to create wealth. And I want to have fun now, because I don't know if tomorrow is going to arrive. You know? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think a lot of people think that, oh, I'll invest when I'm more secure. When I'm more financially secure, I'll start doing this type of stuff. And you got to do it now. You just, like you said, you start small with something. Even if it's like little index funds, you put $50 in there.
And it's funny that we're talking about it tomorrow. I have in my membership group, I have a group coaching tomorrow that I'm doing. And that's what I'm talking about, having money work for you.
Yep.
And even if you put $50 in like M1, whatever, you can buy multiple stocks and get dividends coming in. I love the dividends, because it's like, I don't care what the stock does, the money's coming in. every 90 days. Some of them pay monthly, but most of them are 90 days. And it's coming in, mm-hmm. you know, so I love it.
Even if I keep investing it.
Yeah.
Even if it's a small dollar amount, it adds up. It really does. So, okay. So we all need to be better at setting goals, right? Yes. And I think there's a lot of like different ways that people set goals. I used to follow like the SMART goal method, and now I do something a little bit different, but I know you tell people to pick their top five goals over the next 90 days.
Yes. I mean, it's lighter. The goal planner, the action planner, one is five goals, one is three goals. We wanted to keep five goals. We wanted to keep it light. I mean, we use the SMART goal analogy. I don't believe in it, but most people resonate. So we wanted to kind of keep it in there. That's why I'm creating the launch planner,
yeah,
which is only one goal where people are going to freak out. Believe it or not, people are like, what? It's only five goals and it's for 90 days. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, can you really achieve five goals in 90 days? Let's see it. Right. And that's why we did that. But it's more about, we wanted to do some for like business, maybe something personal, maybe some that are together with somebody else
right.
that you're working on. So we wanted to keep it light. And that's the reason we have five goals in there right now.
Okay. So I truly believe after I read the book, oh my gosh, I can't think of what it's called. It's about money though. And he talked about how you need to have at least like 500 goals. So he says 500 goals. Oh, wow. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I tried to write out a list of 500 goals and I couldn't even come up with more than 100. I was literally stuck at 100, but I always have like a list ongoing in my journal. Like any idea I get, I'll just write it and add it to the goal list. But it's so true that you can't work on like all of the goals at all times, right? Like some of those goals will just like happen by like happenstance because you're working on the top five, right? So working on the top five. And I tend to be like a big, huge dreamer. So I'll be like from scratch, I'll be like, I want to make $1 million in the next 90 days out of nowhere, like out of thin air. And my husband will be like, you're literally off your rocker. Like nobody does that. And I'm like, oh, we're going to figure out a way to do that right now. And what do you say to people like that? Like people like me that are using your planner that are completely like, their goals are so unrealistic. Is that okay to set goals like that? Like, what do you
100%. Yes, 100%. I think actually, if you have a big goal like that, like $1 million, I would say actually, why not make it 2?
Oh. You know?
Right? I mean, because if one is possible, then who stops you to think 2? Now, the thing is, it's also getting you to think wider and bigger mm-hmm. and what's really possible. So now you might hit 1 or 2. It doesn't matter because I don't think the outcome is not what's going to like, oh, now I'm a failure. But no, I know. I think it's just learning to think big and not limiting yourself. I always go back to my kids. Like right now, if I tell you to draw, you're probably going to pause and say, well, what do you want to draw? Do you want to draw a house? Should I use
right. color? If all I give these it to questions.
My, yep. Right? I mean, you're stopping right there. You already stop yourself. But if yep. I give it to my kids, they go like this and they start drawing right away. They don't even think about it for a second, right? I'm sure with your kids it's the same. Mm-hmm. So it's a thing like a kid. Like whatever your goal is, it's possible. Don't worry about the how you're going to get there because that's not the goal. The goal is what it is that you want, what's possible for you.
Well, it's like embracing that childlike curiosity almost. Like, yeah. You know, here's the goal. Like my 9-year-old, he thinks he's going to end up in the NHL. I mean, we'll see. Okay. I'm not going to like burst his bubble about the goal. But right now he has like all these things, like in his mind, he's going like, oh, I'm going to play on the same team as this person and that person. And he's just so curious, like, oh, what would my number be? And he draws all these pictures about him being on the ice rink with all these different players and all this stuff.
But he's doing it the right way. He's creating a vision. He's building his vision.
Right. And our minds as adults, like I think it stops somewhere like, you know, around like the junior high years. I think a lot of people stop dreaming because why do you think that is? Like, why do you think people stop dreaming?
I think it's because we all work from past beliefs, from our past stories, things that happened to us. And so, well, you see, that happened. That's not going to happen again. It can't work. Oh, we got burned at one point or one thing or the other. And then it's like, well, that's not possible. You know, that's my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally true. What were some of the limiting beliefs that you had to get over in order to, you know, build what you've been able to build?
You know, I've hit rock bottom twice. I've been divorced and that really, really took me back to a bankruptcy where I had to I went bankrupt actually. I mean, because of the divorce thing, the situation. And at that point I was like, you know what? I can just turn around and go back home to Israel and start again. Or I can just say, you know what? I have a brand new canvas. I can start again now. Mm. And that's what I did. And then in the construction company, again, I got burned in a way from that person I worked with, build this company, and I got nothing because nothing is on paper. And I literally walked away with nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. Imagine building somebody a $1 million business and then you're like, hey, where's my shares? Like, you don't have a share. You don't even get paid and you walk away with nothing. It's okay. So some people will take that But I took it and I just became stronger because I knew I was. So do I have any limiting belief? Yes. I mean, because sometimes if you tell me, what, can you have 500 members? I would say no, because I want to work less and not work as hard. But yes, is it possible? 100% if that's what I want.
So do you have trust issues then?
I do have some. I think we spoke about it. And I will get burnt one time, never twice from the same person.
Well, yeah, and, never twice from the same person. Yeah, but you paradigm that you look at people like, I'm going to get burned.
Because I've got burned so many times. Yeah. I even mentioned, and we're not going to mention that person.
No.
It happened to me. But I learned. Okay, but I look at it, me getting burned or failure. What can I learn of here to apply for the next thing so it doesn't happen again? Same thing in your business. If something doesn't work out, you take that failure and you say, well, this sucks. I'm just going to work 9 to 5. Or what can I learn of here? What opportunity do I have of you to learn and apply for the next business? So I don't do it again. Kobe Bryant did the best. That's why I think he's one of the best players. He would watch his losing games, not his winning games, his losing games, to see what I did wrong so he doesn't have to repeat that again or just get better.
I didn't know he did that. You know, he lives right by me.
Oh, really? Yep. I didn't know that. Well, Shaquille O'Neal just sold his house, which is by me.
Oh my gosh, how funny.
Yeah, down the street in West Hills. Yeah.
Yeah. Vanessa Bryant gets invited to like all the same brunches as me. She never comes. But anyways, I think it's funny. Okay. I love that we fear failure so much, and failure is what teaches us the most. So why not just embrace it, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so will you talk about when you set the 5 goals, you also talk about why these goals. Why is the why important?
So that's the juice. That's what's going to help you going for the next 90 days. Because the reason behind the goal should have a reason behind. Why do you want this goal? Why do you want $1 million? Why do you want a house? Why do you want to lose weight? Whatever it may be.
Yeah.
It has to be a reason, that drive that's going to keep you forward. So for me, why do I want to create the launch planner? Why do I need that headache? Create more. I can work with the goal planner and go with that. It's sprinting. It's moving it. It's customs. There's a lot of things moving to bring it over. But for me, it's the impact that it can create. You know, to take somebody that uses that planner and say, hey, this changed my life. This changed my business. I was able to buy a house for my wife and my kids and do this. So for me, it's the impact. So that's my why. It gives me the chills to get going on that. So that's my why. So finding your why is the most important thing, in my opinion, to help you get going for the next 90 days at least.
When can we all expect the launch planner?
I think it will be ready by February.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. 90 days. Yeah, all right. Well, I'm pretty much done with the PDF part, but there's a lot of parts that are not in my control.
Right, manufacturing, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Now, when you started to get into that business of, you know, like having to source everything, get all the right prices, do you think that like your background, like being an immigrant and then like doing this construction work and like having to barter with all these subcontractors, do you think that that helped you come in? Because I know manufacturers, like, because we like have some merch and all that kind of stuff, they try to like pull one over on you, I feel like, a lot. So did that experience help you come in and negotiate pricing and all that kind of stuff?
You know, I think being Israeli and a Jewish, that's already like embedded in you. So we negotiate about everything and anything. So I think that's like a given. But yes, I think that helps. You know, that helps.
What would be your like top tips for negotiating like things like this?
You know, don't be scared to walk away.
Ooh, okay.
Don't be scared. I walked away out of so many real estate deals, for instance, that we wanted to buy a house. And this is a big investment. Most people let the emotion use emotion instead of business. It's only business. Yep. You know, you need to look at it like that. So don't be scared. And I walked away. I mean, people will, let's do it. No, let's do it. No, it just doesn't align. It's not for me. And I think that's the best thing is don't be scared to walk away. Same thing. And I want to give my advice. Obviously, it doesn't maybe work over here, but even like some people hold on to losing stocks. They buy stocks and they're losing and they keep losing because their emotions like walk away, take the bandage. It's going to hurt. Take that money, invest it and grow it instead of holding and going down and down and down and down the drain.
So, oh my gosh. I have a painful story over that. A painful story over that. I helped startup an oil, like we got like obsessed with investing in oil, like where you would invest in it from the ground up, where you dig the hole and do all this stuff. And they did the test. They're like, oh, this is for sure going to have like, you know, oil. And it was taking forever. Like there were all these signs of like, it wasn't, they weren't able to dig and we should have pulled our money. And I kept telling my husband, I'm like, I have this weird feeling like you know, we should probably just pull our money. He's like, no, this is a sure thing. Like, but I mean, I'm not joking, 18 months to even dig the hole to get everything in. And we should have pulled our money. They ended up digging and it was water. It was water.
It was water.
Yeah, $60,000. I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, so kind of, yeah, pull your money, but go with your gut hits too. Like you're like, okay.
And don't be scared to walk away. Don't be scared because there's always going to be another deal after that.
Exactly.
Another deal after that. And I mean, that's for me, it was huge. It was something that my, as being a photographer, you know, I was always worried about like, if I don't pick up the phone right now, they're going to call somebody else and they're not going to book me and I'm going to lose that thing. And my wife always said, look, if you don't close it, it wasn't yours to begin with.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. So let it, just let it go. And that for me, let me relax. So that's why I love this business so much, because at 2-3 o'clock, I clock out. I'm done. I'm going home. I don't call anybody. I don't care if they call me. If there's emails, now I have staff, so they care of it. They take care of it. But regardless, even my staff goes home. Like they're not working after the clock. And when you get to that position and you know that it's okay, spend that with what matters to you. For me, it's God, my family, and then business. That's what matters for me first. And it's just a lot lighter. It's a lot better. And it's okay to walk away, you know? So,
oh my gosh. Okay. I love that. So when you're making deals, don't be scared to walk away. What's another tip for negotiating?
I don't know. I always compare. I compare a lot and I have no problem even showing each other the thing. But for me, I'll give you an idea for the planner. I was comparing so many 15 factories. Now I didn't go to China. Everything I created, this whole planner was done on my Skype.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
Yes. All via chat till today. And I've never been to the factory. I don't even know what it looks like there, but I got a lot of samples. But for me, it was quality that mattered. It wasn't the price always. It's quality, because I looked at it this way. People are writing their goals. They're pretty much going to keep this plan for the rest of their life because this achieves something in their life.
Right.
And for me, it was the quality. So get some samples, get some things, don't be scared. You know, like, hey, this is the price. Can you beat it? Yes, yes. No, no. You know, I think people over here are scared to like, they'll just do whatever. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll give it to you. No, negotiate. Like, totally. Always ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I walked up to you. I don't know you. You don't know me. I was like, hey, here's the planner. It's good for you. Can we talk? And then you reached out and I was like, can I be on your podcast?
Yeah.
This is what I want. Like, remember, no, it's not for you. Fine. It's okay. Yeah. But ask. Don't be scared to ask for that discount. Don't be asked to say, hey, let me have it at $4. Negotiate. Like if you go to a flea market in Israel, you're going to walk through that market and you're going to buy something, whether you like it or not, because they're going to pull 20 carpets at you, 20 things. They're going to, until you're like, what did just happen? Why did it just because they're going to make it sell. So I'm not saying be like that, but I'm just, don't be scared to ask. Say, mm-hmm. Hey, if you want a discount, if you want a price, don't be scared to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, they don't, they just pay what they're told. And that's it. Like, think about it as a car deal.
Well, I think that because, and I'm thinking back to my childhood, I was never taught negotiation skills at all. It was just like, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit, basically. Kind of like, that's the mentality. And you don't want to negotiate because you don't want to look cheap. Like, there's all these like little, like, you know, I feel like social conditioning that happens to us. And so like coming, I feel like I've had a lot of like immigrants lately in my life that I've interviewed. And you guys, I mean, it's amazing. I'm like, I feel like it's like you almost have this like do or die personality. Like you're just like, you know, because you have to, like you literally do have to, right? Like to you, it is life or death. And you don't have that social conditioning that a lot of us, when we grow up in America, that everything's kind of just handed to us. And I mean, I don't want to like talk bad about like growing up in America, but it is.
That's why I didn't want to say anything about America. but brings me back to that story where I told you that I got lucky, that I got another job.
Yeah.
It's because a lot of people didn't want that job.
Yeah. Right.
So I'll take it.
Right.
I'll take it. You know, I'm like, And so that's what I'm trying to say.
Somebody like my dad, my dad's like a fully capable human being and we have a strange relationship. I grew up and he was in jail for most of my life. And so right now, like he doesn't have a job because he thinks he's above flipping hamburgers at a thing, you know? And I'm like, I'm not going to give you money because you could go and get a job somewhere. Right. Like, but he's above all those other jobs. I'm like, no, you're not above anything. Like that's a problem.
That's the thing is once we understand that we are all in eye level and everybody should be treated in the same eye level, not below, not above, right there. And I think that's what makes us different. And the people that think they're above, that's okay. It's their choice.
Yeah.
They can still stay above by themselves over there. And, you know, because that's really what happens.
Stay above over there suffering. Yep.
But yeah, no. And honestly, that's just the way it is. You know, my third job, The second, after I finished the second job, you know, before I got the permit to work, my second job was knocking on people's doors and selling them coupons for Papa John's pizza, whatever.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine. Yes. I did that. You know what? And I was, yeah, put a suit and a tie. And I hate to wear suits. I don't own suits. And I had to put it for that job. And I mean, I quit after do this because I just couldn't take it anymore.
Oh yeah. Door to door sales is brutal.
But I had to do what I had to do to bring food in, and it was okay. And you know, it's, I didn't feel shame. I didn't feel anything. I always looked at the gratitude like I have an opportunity. It could be worse. I could be sitting somewhere, not be able to move or not breathe or do whatever. Right. I'm not adding any things in there, but I'm just saying, and when we're gratitude for what we have and appreciate it, then I think you're just going to get more of it.
And oh my gosh. Yes. Well, so do you have, I know that you have a part in your journal about brain dumping, which I've been a huge fan of brain dumping for years. And I talk about it in my book and I love how you have a spot for it. But do you talk about gratitude in your journal?
I don't talk about gratitude in my journal and the
daily
new launch.
Daily wins though. You do have daily wins.
Daily wins. And yeah. But the new launch planner, actually yours is affirmation. I think I am on the right top, on the right side, on the top.
Yes. Yeah.
I am. But in the new launch planner, because I really believe that it's going to be the next best planner out there, the first thing is, what am I grateful for? The first thing, before I even ask you what actions you want to take for your business, just one sentence. What am I grateful for? Yep. My family, my kids, whatever. You know, and that's the first. So that's what I'm incorporating in the new launch planner. When we do 90X 3.0, we will probably add gratitude because I'm huge. I have another planner that I use just for gratitude because I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I have to be honest, for the past 2 years before that, that's not something that was on my priority list. It was just like making
money. What do you feel like, how has gratitude changed your life? Like when you've made it a focus, like it sounds like you've already kind of been grateful for opportunities, but now it's a focus.
Yeah, now it's a focus because when things didn't go my way, I was always complain and, you know, like, oh, why is it this? And it's not, and I didn't even stop and think to appreciate what I've been through, could have been 10 times worse and what I've actually already received in my life, which is my family, my health, my house, anything I have around me, you know, and being grateful for those small things, even to eat food and taste it. You know, I mean, sometimes people don't even have that, you know, so, and I think that just it puts things in perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, suddenly you're like, okay, well, it's not that bad, I guess, you know?
Well, yeah, no, perspective changes everything. And I think that's part of the reason why I was like so grateful for like all the opportunities in my life too, is I grew up going like on mission trips. Like I'd go to the Philippines, Costa Rica, Ecuador, and we'd go and like, we'd, you know, do all these like plays and stuff like that for kids in like really like these horrible areas, but they were so happy. Yes. I mean, they were the happiest, most joyful people I'd ever met in my life. And they were just so happy for us to be there, like doing, like eating with them. It was crazy. And for us, we take advantage of so much of our lives. Like I had, you know, this epiphany yesterday and I was just like, oh my, I was so stressed out about like everything going on, you know, and I'm sick and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's all this stuff. And I'm like, wait. I texted my coach and I was like, I think I need to go to anger management. Like, oh my gosh, like I'm stressed out. And I'm angry. And she's like, well, what are you grateful for? And I was like, okay, list out 10 things that I'm grateful for. And then my state changed instantly because it was like, I literally like have nothing to complain about and everything to be grateful for. So it's like that thing, too blessed to be stressed, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. But I think anybody in any situation, at any income level can be grateful for something.
Right.
But it's just about, what do we want to focus on?
Yep.
Do we want to focus on our problems? Because we can all find problems. It's easy to just dig in problems right now and debt and this and that and mortgages, whatever. But what are we grateful for? And I think that's why I think that's huge. And I've loved it and I've never done it before. I mean, meditation, that's something I do daily and nightly, which before is like, there's no way I'm sitting down for 5 minutes, not even sitting like this. I have to move and walk. But it's just, I guess you learn with time and experience.
Yeah, you create new habits. Okay, so as you use this planner, I know I keep talking about the planner because I'm obsessed with it and I really think it's going to help people in 2020. But so do you suggest people get their days started the day ahead of time, the week ahead of time? Like how should they fill out their calendar? Because the way that you have it set up, it's way different. There's no
calendar.
There's no times. It's your day. You get to create it. You're not living by the clock.
Exactly. So I think they should... If you're starting your week, there's a weekly, which you should plan your week ahead. Like sit on a Sunday and say, okay, what would I like the week to look like? Don't list your appointments with whatever, but like, I want to accomplish this, and that, and plan your week. And I think what most people get wrong, and that's why they work crazy hours for 20 hours a day is because they think because they do a lot, they get a lot done.
Yeah.
And it's completely the opposite. So the way they should start the day with the plan is ask yourself this question: what is my intention today?
Mm-hmm.
What is my intention towards my goal? And then list those big 3, 4, 5 things that you have towards your goal and focus on just those. Don't mistake an action towards your goals to your to-do list.
Okay.
Two different things. Because anybody can do a to-do list. You can delegate it, and that's what I do. And my team gets it done. But I focus on my big intention. That's why I'm able to clock out at 2 if I wanted to, or stay longer. It's a choice. But I don't feel like I'm locked. And that's what, if you can focus on just that, and if you're spending more than 5 to 10 minutes with the planner, you're doing it completely wrong. But it should be like, yeah, like write down the actions. What are my to-do list that I can delegate? Any notes, any ideas, and just go execute.
And okay. So it's not like I don't need to carry this around with me all day.
You don't have to, but I mean, it's great if you want to add ideas, brain dumps, or things like that. But I mean, I think you should have it. Like I have mine in my desk. I don't take it home because when I go home, I want to be with my family, with my kids. But that's the way it should be done. I mean, it's really that easy. It's like, what is my intention today? And if you're coming to work and you're asking this question, well, I wonder what I have to do today. That's the wrong question to ask.
Right.
Like you should know exactly what your goal is. And every day, you know, you need to move the needle towards that goal.
What does your morning routine look like?
So I get into the office. I do about an hour of meditation, whether I'm sitting.
At the office?
Yes, at the office. Because it's my house there.
At home.
No, because I have a two-year-old and a three-year-old. So if like I need to get up and exit. Like if not, then I'm stuck. So I need to take off. Because if not, it's like diapers and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I just take off. So, and my office is like 1 minute away from here. So where I live. So I get here, I'm by myself at around 7 o'clock in the morning. I meditate for about an hour. And then I sit down and I kind of write down what are my actions after my goals. Like what's my intention. And then my staff arrives here, we execute. And then by around 2, we take off.
So with your staff, do you like because everything is such goal setting, does everybody on the staff follow this planner as well?
Yes, they have one. They pick whichever one they want. They could, and then on Monday we sit down. We kind of brain dump everything on a whiteboard. We put everything over there, and then one of my staff members, she writes everything out on a brain dump on our group, and then we break down that and which one we're going to execute every day for the next week.
So you guys just meet on Mondays together as an
Well, we all work together, but but what we do is on Monday we do a brain dump for the week.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the same thing over again, but we're just refining it to make sure what was done, move it away.
I love that. Okay. That's huge. And then in order to keep this kind of culture, like, you know, with the I am statements and the brain dump and the meditation and all that kind of stuff, how do you get your staff on board with that? Like, how do you make sure that personal development is a key, like essential ingredient of them?
I mean, this is our culture over here. This is what we have over here. They're living around it. It's right here, whether they like it or not. But it's also just doing it. I also make him take time blocks. So this is your time block. This is what you're going to do, your self-care or your meditation or whatever. Then that's what we do. I don't have a meditate over here.
Okay.
But the whole environment is like that. It's very light and everybody can do whatever they want to do as long as you get your job done and you accomplish your goal for the day. So we set like goals that like, this is what I want to get done today. And this is what I want to get done for the week. But it's a very light. I'm not like watching them over, you know, like some of those 9 to 5, I guess that's what they do 9 to 5 that don't have one. So I don't know how it is, but that's the way the environment is. Very flex. It's very, very flex. And I don't have 20 people, just to understand. I only have 3 in-house people.
Okay.
Plus 3 and then a ton of subs.
What is like the number one thing that when you're first building out your business, who's the first person you need to hire?
Who's the first person I need to hire building out my business? I hired my integrator first. That's what I did. I wanted somebody to take all my crazy ideas and execute or clean them up.
How'd you find your integrator?
So I just knew that person that I thought is different than me.
Okay.
Opposite than me. And kind of, she's family now, but I mean, that's the way I found her. So I found her online and I had some other people, but I noticed that it's not aligned. Like it's not working. So, and I was not scared of firing. So that's one of the things. So it's like, okay, it's not working. Thank you very much. See you later.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing it is. I found somebody that executes, so I don't have to deal with everybody. Obviously, I am dealing and I'm available and we can talk and chat and brainstorm together, but that's the first thing I did is hire my integrator.
So everybody, you know, you've heard me talk about that book, Rocket Fuel, in the past. And he's talking about, you know, he's the visionary. You hire the integrator. So the visionary is a person with the crazy ideas. The integrator is like the project manager. They're making sure that everybody is in line, getting their tasks done, hitting their KPIs, all that kind of stuff. So you can go out and be in your zone of genius, essentially, and creating the ideas, creating the content, being on podcasts, doing this type of stuff to get the brand out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And what I did, so that's the first thing. The second thing is I hired somebody to do the messaging in-house because I think it's all about the messaging, you know.
100%. I'm redoing all of my messaging right now. We're doing all story brand, Donald Miller, following his formula.
Okay. Yeah. I'm, you know, I took some from James and a lot of things because I've been part of James for the past 2 years now.
Okay.
But that's the person I hired next. And then I have another guy that executes, like builds all of our sales pages and funnels and whatever. So he's in-house, but again, he's also part of messaging. He's also understanding what's going on. And today, actually, today I hired somebody to do my PR. I was specifically looking for somebody to do my PR because I don't want to go dump, you know, 20 grand on a company that's going to say, well, it's hit and miss. And whatever we get, we get. Because I think my next leg, I need to be everywhere. I need to be in Entrepreneur magazine, this online publication, whatever.
Oh, I want to know who you hired. You have to tell me.
Well, it's in-house.
Oh, in-house. You hired an in-house
person that I wanted to dedicate part-time to work just on this.
So are you going to train him or does he already have PR experience? So he already knows how to get connected.
Yeah, exactly. I hired somebody with some experience. Now, this is one of the things. When I hire somebody to my staff or part of our team, I always tell, even if it's a sub, you got to tell me what I got to do. Because if I'm telling you what you have to do, then
Yeah, that's not going to work. Yep.
Yeah, you need to tell me. And if they're already looking at me like, what?
It's the wrong person.
Yes.
Yep. So oh my gosh, I love that idea because I've spent a lot of money on PR and it's a much better thing to have them in-house.
Because I can use them for PR. I can use them for social. They can run the social department, I guess, you know, the Instagram, all that stuff.
So are you paying them salary and then giving him a bonus for getting him and stuff or what? How are you?
So right now, all my guys, they're all subs. In-house, but all subs. I just figure out the best way for me to do it at this point. And so they can also do their own thing. But that's the way I do it. It's enough for what we're doing. We have companies that are running our Amazon, our ads and all that stuff, but that's all subs. So I just love that form of writing, having an employee, W-2, all that stuff. So this way they can free to do whatever. And actually, I want him to grow and do something on their own. That's
really
for them. Because I think...
I don't want anybody working for me to have anything on their own. They got to be all about me.
Well, that's fine. But yeah, for me, it's like I want you to see how that can implement, even if you're using it and you're starting something small, because it gets them more creative, in my opinion, at least. But yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I love it. Okay, so last question. Yeah. What's the most shameless thing you've done to build your business?
My shameless... So me coming to you... And drawing my planner on your face, is that not shameless enough? I mean, because I did it to everybody, I think I would be.
I love that. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't be willing to do that, right?
Look, when I started 90X, I walked store to store. I got all the way to Urban Outfitters. They didn't accept it. But I got all the way over there and I told them, you got to have this planner on your shelves. Like, this is the best thing. And if they said yes, if they said no, great, thank you, move to the next because it's only a business transaction. So that's my shame. I was right in their face and I'm not ashamed of going business to business, door to door. And I was able to get to 17 stores. Then I figured out that's not the best strategy. I should not be in all the stores. So it's a lot of work to get them going. So I pulled out of that.
The education and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it was my only, that's when I started. I did Kickstarter, but door to door, I knocked in, I called him. I hustled, I guess, whatever. And people are not willing to do that.
They're not. But I think it's good. That's why I asked that question, because I think it's good for people to hear the stories of people like us, of what we were willing to do now to have what we have, right? And the more stories you hear, maybe it's going to inspire you guys that are listening in right now to take that action that is necessary. I was going to say, maybe it didn't work, right? It didn't like grow your business, but it created momentum because you were moving and you were saying, I'm willing to do whatever. And then, you know, God gave you what you needed.
Yeah. And I'm still not, I think I'm only 10%. I think I have 99% to go. And I don't think I'm even close to scratch the surface the way I should be. And I think it's going to explode. I don't know when, but I'm going to trust the process. And I know it's going to explode at one point. to the good direction, obviously. But I think people, I want to say something. I think people are scared to hear no.
Yeah.
They're scared of that. And I'm not scared of a no, you know, because it's okay if you tell me a no, because there's no attachment. I'm not attached to the outcome, you know, but I'm going to try, because if I don't try, it's already a no. That's the way I look at it. So, and I think people are scared of saying, or hearing no. So that's where they're like, well, I'm not going to ask. I'm just going to do it on the quiet lane and just go from there. So I think if you can do just one thing different and do it, and like you said something about clarity, like I said in the beginning, take as many actions as you can towards your goal, and clarity will come with momentum.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I think what you said is, you know, people are that fear of rejection. It's their driver. And so, let's put fear to the side and place it with the excitement of what will happen when they do say no. Every time you say no, it's getting you closer to a yes. One more person to say yes. So I love it. And it's not a no forever. Just a no for now.
No, it's
like Urban Outfitters is probably going to be calling you in a couple of years. Like, hey, can we get these on your
look, if I wanted to make that happen, to be honest, if I wanted to, I could have pushed even harder. I could have flown out there. I could have gone to the buyers and put it right to their face. I could have done other things. But, you know, I did what I thought I wanted to do, but also I had other directions. Look, when we started, 90X was all about selling planners. Right now, we're a coaching company that happens to sell planners.
Yes.
So that's the focus.
That's a good one-liner. I like it. I like it. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
If you learned anything from us, make sure to tag us on Instagram, okay? And if you guys would love to pick up one of these amazing 90X goal planners or action planners, I'm going to hook up the link to the show notes. And if you guys use the code MOMMY, he's going to throw in some extra goodies. Alon, can you tell him what some of the goodies are?
Yeah. So once you put in the code, we're not going to get a discount. You might get a discount for a penny just so we can know that you came from the show, but you're going to get a sticker pack with over 200 stickers and that you can put motivation, gym, food, all that good stuff. You're going to get a pen and a pen loop to go along with it. So this way you have no excuse to say, I don't have my pen and I can't write in my phone. So yeah, it's there. It's going to be attached to your planner. You're going to put your stickers and you're going to crush 2020.
Yes, I'm so excited. So thank you for doing that for the Mommy Millionaires listening in. Appreciate that. Yay. You guys, make sure to share this out. Text the link to any of your friends that may need to hear this amazing story. Get some inspiration going into 2020. We appreciate every time you share this podcast on socials or via text. This is how we get the mission accomplished of helping more people have financial freedom. So thanks again for listening in, and we'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Millionaire Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to mommymillionaire.co. Make sure to follow Mommy Millionaire on Spotify and subscribe on iTunes. And it would mean the world to me if you left a 5-star review of the show. And as always, ladies, go out there and get what you want.